This episode is brought to you by Square. If you run a restaurant or business, Square has the tools to help you stay connected to customers, shift your business, and navigate this uniquely challenging time. Learn more at square.com/go/speakeasy.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
How are we doing, Bills?
Doing good, man.
Well, I'm sitting here with a tequila, lime, and soda in my bedroom with the blankets all over the place so that we got some sound reduction. I know that we're all, again, this is many shows in a row that we're doing separately instead of being in the studio together. Greg and I here in New York. Damon, you're out in California, and none of us are in the same room. So it's unusual, but it's becoming usual. I'm feeling more and more comfortable. I'm in my underwear.
Wow. Didn't need that information, buddy.
I didn't send you a photo. I just told you.
Okay, fine. We're
all
in our
underwear. Instagram later. Exactly. We all got inspired by those fins a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're technically all in our underwear, but we're also in more clothes on top of the underwear. So
hey, speak for yourself.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah, New York's a different animal, pal.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I thought I was the hippie in California, and you guys are running around just in your underwear? Come on. The thing that I find even stranger than that is that you're drinking a tequila soda when we're about to talk about whiskey.
I don't have any. It'd be shocking. You'd be shocked to know, or maybe not shocked to know, after this long of quarantine, I have no whiskey left. I was drinking cachaça earlier this week. I'm drinking tequila today. My stores are getting low.
Don't you own like five bars that you can go pillage?
Yeah, but getting out and about is not as easy as you think it is here in New York right now. I don't know. I need a restock, that's for sure.
I'm sure you have a bottle of 1909 Old Overholt or something like that.
I do, in fact, have one of those left, and I'm saving it for a special occasion. Today doesn't
You're saving it for a rainy day? I mean, come on. This is about as rainy as it gets, man. This is when you should be drinking that Overholt.
Today doesn't mark enough of a rainy day to break that thing out.
Speaking
of that, the whiskey, I'm actually thinking about auctioning it off to raise money for the bar.
I was going to ask you about auctions too, because you sent me a text the other day about Sotheby's auction. They're doing all this Prohibition era barware. Are they doing spirits as well?
No, this auction is mostly about barware, but beautiful stuff. One of the things I saw was a pewter 1930s inspired, well, not made in the 1930s, 1930s style binoculars, which is two, I believe they were six ounces each flasks that look like a pair of binoculars, and the bottoms of them pop off to make cups. Really gorgeous, but auctioning off for starting price of $1,500. And then there was this nesting bar kit from Germany, again, 1920s, so during Prohibition, wrapped in leather, really gorgeous. A lot of cool things. That you'd be interested in. That's why I sent it to you to take a look. I sent it to you and Robert Simonson and Dave Wunderson. It was just like, guys, I know we don't have any money to spend, but it's fun to look.
I'm glad that you put me in that group. Thanks a lot, man. That's very kind of you.
I know you're a nerd that collects a bunch of old junk like I do. old useless, out-of-date junk.
I collect you. I acquired you a long time ago.
I put myself in that category.
Have you ever seen, there's this like really cool, like maybe it's a little bit past Prohibition era. It's kind of like Deco. There was a company that made them. It's a really cool caviar service. And it's like silver. And it's got like a shell on the top that's like a molded shell of silver. And then it's got like slots for six shot glasses
all around it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My birthday is next month. So just keep that in mind if you see one.
Hint, hint, everybody.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
So speaking of drinking, what are you having, Greg? Do you have anything in front of you?
I actually busted into this bottle of Singani that I've had around because like it sounds like Souther, I've gone through all of the, you know, quote unquote regular stuff. Like I'm at a whiskey. I had a bunch of Pisco. I was making Pisco martinis with a rotating cast of Bitterman's bitters for about a week that were delicious. And because I'm between Campari runs, I found this Singani that I don't know when the last time I touched this bottle was, but I'm being reminded what a beautiful, wonderful spirit this
That's
is.
Great, yeah.
In fact, this is the only, it's the base of the only cocktail I've ever put on a menu that I designed specifically for the name. There is an old Bolivian cocktail called the Chufly. It's pretty simple. It's Singani, ginger, and lime. And I mashed that up with the last word, and I brought it to my boss at the time, and I told him, Ryan, this cocktail is called the C word. I'm flexible on the spelling, but not on the name. And so the S-E-A-W-A-R-D was on the menu at a very nice restaurant for about a year.
Very cool.
Nice.
I like that. I had, before Souther came on the show as my co-host, before you came on a long time ago, I'm dating myself. I'm pretty damn old. My birthday is coming up. But I had Steven Soderbergh on the show, and we talked about Singani and the product that he brings in. And it was a really fun time. Good guy. Good stuff.
It's great juice, man.
On the other hand, Souther said that he's not tapping into his reserve bottles. But, you know, for me, whenever I travel around to all these wonderful distilleries around the country, around the world, you know, I always like try to get the I always bring back bottles, and I always put them, you know, in my cabinet. It's like kind of a trophy of like
the boss's cabinet, you call it, right?
Cabinet, yeah, in Grand Army. And what I opened today that I wasn't really expecting to, but makes sense to do it, is I opened a bottle of Rabbit Hole rye whiskey, and I got this a couple summers ago. I was down there when I was the brand ambassador for Brooklyn Gin. I was down at Camp Runamuck, and I got to tour the Rabbit Hole Distillery, and holy shit. I'm like, you know, I'm a total design and architecture nerd, and I was just blown away by this facility. It's like a fortress. But of like mid-century, like kind of modern contemporary architecture. It has one of the most amazing tasting room bars up at the top that I've ever seen. It's probably the most impressive distillery I've seen to date. And luckily we have the good folks from Rabbit Hole on the show today. So I'm drinking appropriately, Souther. Take a note from me.
Hey, I'm doing what I can do with what
I'm
I
giving
got.
Greg a pass because he's new.
I'm also going to say, I think any level of drinking right now is appropriate drinking.
That's absolutely correct.
Given yeah. where we all are.
Yeah.
Well, Damon, that seems like a perfect segue for you to bring in our guests. Why don't you bring them in?
Yeah, absolutely.
From their respective distant studios.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we're in Louisville right now, or New Orleans, maybe? Or New Orleans, or where we are. But on the show today, we have the good folks from Rabbit Hole. So we got Carolyn Rosen. We have the founder, Kavizamanian. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Cool. Nailed
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Cool. He's like close enough.
We've got these two on the show today, and I'm really glad to be able to talk with them about this wonderful whiskey that I'm enjoying right now. I got to, like I said, I got to visit I guess it had probably just been constructed, like right before I got to visit. Chris was your guy working there. He'd hit me up. He saw that I was in Louisville at the time, and we connected, and he said, come by, let me show you around. And what a cool distillery. Very, like, I don't want to say hip, but, like, it's, you just got to see it. It's really cool. I mean, you can take tours. You can check it out online. Very cool. Very cool. And then Carolyn Rosen, are you in New Orleans, or where are you?
I am. Cool. I am in New Orleans.
And and she's the president of the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. I want to welcome you both to the show. You're in two places that I would really love to be right now. But same. Obviously, you know, things are different right now from what they would normally be like. But you know, at least we can share some time and some drinks today on this show. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Damon.
Thanks for having us.
So let's get things started off. I asked Souther and I asked Greg, are you two having anything while we're... I mean, I know it's early for some of us. I mean, it's like I said, it's noon here, but I was wondering if you might be enjoying a little quarantine-y or whatnot.
I'm having a glass of our Ford Wayne bourbon, which is called Cave Hill, and we just released a cask strength version of it, so I'm having a sip of that right now.
Nice. And that just came out, like
the cask strength, yeah, is just a recent release. It's actually not something that we've released wide. It was a commemorative bottle that I gave as a kind of gesture of gratitude, thanks to the folks that helped me launch the brand. The people that, from an investment standpoint, were with me a few years ago and have now stepped aside.
Cool. And how about you, Carolyn?
I'm sticking with some rabbit hole today. I'm lucky to have a couple of bottles in the house. And Souther, it sounds like we need to send some your way ASAP. Yeah. I feel bad for you. I'm like, how do you not have any? But I'm just having some rhyme.
Sipping on my address right away.
it's sad that you're without it. But now I'm just having some of the rye and sipping on it. And I'm on the side having a little bit of iced tea. I still need a little bit more caffeine today. So I don't know what that makes it, but
that's
yeah,
my favorite drink in the world, iced tea. I can't have it.
I love whiskey. Yeah, I know your caffeine problem. I love whiskey with a I hope it's sweet tea. I grew up in the Deep South myself. In fact, I lived in New Orleans for several years. I hope you're having whiskey and sweet tea.
But like, wait, Souther, you forgot the addition.
I lived in New Orleans for 3 years, so they tell me.
I'm just going to correct all your mistakes today.
Well, you're really taking me to task as I sit here in my two-piece, just my underwear and my glasses. Cave, let's talk about you a little bit. I'm fascinated by the fact that you left a career, I'm assuming pretty successful career as a psychologist, am I right? And you went into making whiskey.
Yeah, you know, I cut my teeth in the hospitality business when I was kind of coming of age, if you would, in college and graduate school, I was a psychologist for about 20 years, but always had a soft spot for wine and spirits, and started coming down to Louisville about 16, 17 years ago, and caught the bug, and that was the beginning of it.
Down to where are you from?
I grew up in, I was born in Iran, and grew up in Southern California, and then moved around a little bit, Arizona for 4 years for college, and then New York, and then Chicago for 18 years before moving to Louisville.
Yeah, love, I've lived in all those places, actually, Southern California, Chicago, except for Louisville, but I love it down there, and I've been there down there a few times. I'm overdue for a revisit, and I'd love to see this distillery that Damon just described. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on with your Dream Inside program. I see that you're donating a lot of money, and you're partnering up with the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. That's why we have Carolyn on the show. So you guys, I want to hear about that. I want to get that message out to the people so we can participate in whatever way we can. So tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, I think from the days of being a shrink, I always thought that, you know, a lot of issues kind of coalesce around a couple of points. People either have a hard time finding what they love, or if they do, they have a hard time finding the gumption to go after it. And, you know, with this COVID crisis around us, it seemed like an opportunity to think about how we can step back and find out and think about what's important to us personally. I think it's definitely a reset for a lot of people. And for us, was the same. We wanted to make sure that somehow we're helping out and contributing to the folks that are on the front lines and represent us day in, day out, and tell our stories. So, Tales of the Cocktail seemed like a natural partnership for us. We have really a soft spot for organizations that have an educational bent and also support the industry, and started talking to these folks, and Carolyn and team came through for us. So it's been a fun partnership to get off the ground.
Yeah, and what are the sort of parameters for average folks? I know you've got, you're matching or you're donating for every hashtag of two, the number two Dream Inside, and I assume that's on Instagram. But how does all that work? Talk to us about it.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple idea. I think the idea is, how do you you know, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you dream of? And it doesn't have to be anything grand. It could be small. It could be big. Whatever it is, share that dream with us on social media. Tag a couple of friends and hashtag #2 dream inside. What we do is we basically, for every post, contribute $2 to the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. We kickstarted it with $50,000 and we're going to match it up all the way up to $200,000.
That's amazing. And I looked at your website right before coming on the air today to see that it looks like you're with your $50,000 kickoff, you're already over $100,000. When did this begin and how long is it going to run for?
You know, we're going to do it as long as we get to the 200,000. I think we're committed to get it to that point, and I think now it's getting traction. Probably Carolyn could be would be better at telling me exactly when we started. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, Carolyn, if I'm guessing correctly.
It's been a huge outpouring, but yeah, we launched it about 2 weeks and 2 days ago, I believe. So
2 weeks and 2 days ago, really,
we've been doing a lot of work.
Two dreams. Cool.
Yeah, this is Caroline hopping in here, but you know, one of the things that was so great when we started talking to Kaveh is he, and not to say that others don't, but just the culture that they have and their need to give back. And this is it's a beautiful distillery. I've taken a virtual tour. I've sadly not been able to visit in person yet either, but just so thoughtful. And for a company, Rabbit Hole is not the biggest guy on the block. And I think that it's really important to say that for a company your size, it's just so wonderful that you're investing back in this industry. So we're grateful.
Thank you, Carolyn. Yeah, we're really excited about this partnership. And like I said, we want to give back and we wanted to be narrow in our spending. You know, in the past crises, typically dollars that go out, they get kind of in some ways lost in the shuffle. And we knew that with you guys, we're in good hands and those dollars are going to be put to good use.
Absolutely. Very cool.
I would like to ask that. How are the dollars going to be used effectively, Carolyn? What are you going to use this funding to accomplish?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think there are a few different ways in which it will come in. And what we wanted to do immediately with the initial $50,000 gift was be able to give back to a group that has really, really helped us. And the beautiful part of this relationship, as the Rabbit Hole team has said, you know, Tales, we want y'all to be good stewards of this and really help us along the way of how we can do that. So it's not just through our education, where we've been doing weekly different seminars and podcasts, but we wanted to directly give back to our Cocktail Apprentice program. So we were able to go to the 2019 class and give them almost a $900 each gift, which is really impactful and very quickly.
Wow. Very cool. That's incredible.
Yeah. And the Cocktail Apprentice program, just, you know, those are some of the best of the best. I know a lot of y'all are familiar with that, but it's a training ground, it's community. And that's just one of the ways. And we look forward to more education. And we're just so grateful. Again, as the numbers keep going up, we just get more and more excited. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's powerful. The CAPS, Cocktail Apprentice, known as the CAPS, they come in and they work their asses off throughout the week of Tales of the Cocktail. They're kind of behind the scenes because they're getting the job done. It's a great networking opportunity for them. I know many CAPS who've come out of there with friends for life and have made monetized that into working opportunities and things like that. So it's great to know that you're taking care of that group of folks who come in and really work hard and are probably struggling right now when they can't go to work. And that $900 check probably came in really handy.
I really love like what you said about like there's a lot of camaraderie. It builds a lot of networking vibes. You know, a lot of buddy tattoos that come out of that system.
Oh yeah.
I was a CAP for about 4 minutes, unofficially.
How many tattoos did you get?
I got two that year at Tales, not a CAP tattoo. I was down there. Tanya Guffey, Frank Cisneros, and Nick Jarrett were all CAPS, and I can tell you long ago it was. We were at the Monteleone, and they were batching in one of the back kitchen areas, and we just went in to say hi. I think I just started this show, like right around that time, about a decade ago, and walked in. They were like batching cocktails, and I was like, I'll help, whatever, cool. And I went to open up some bottles of cognac, and it had the foil capsule cover on the top of the thing, and I twisted a couple of the caps off, and then one of them cut me, and I was like, all right, well, I'm done.
Your career ended pretty prematurely.
But you know, it was great because like there was lots of alcohol there, you know, to take care of me. So,
sanitized. Seems like a good time to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors here at Heritage Radio Network. We're going to come right back and keep talking with Cave and Caroline from Rabbit Hole and Tales of the Cocktail Foundation about the good works that they're doing to support our industry. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Square. We all know that this is an incredibly challenging time for our friends running restaurants and small food businesses. With social distancing in place, people are staying home and eating in, and restaurants have had to pivot to pickup and delivery only. HRN would usually be recording our podcast from our studio inside Roberta's, but since they've had to close their dining room, they've ramped up their frozen pizza production, set up a wine and grocery shop, and seen their delivery orders skyrocket. Like Roberta's, many restaurants have been changing offerings day by day as they figure out how to best serve their customers. If you run a restaurant or a small business, Square has the tools to help you adapt. One of these tools is the Square Online Store. It lets you set up a free online ordering page with curbside pickup and local delivery so you can keep customers safe. You can deliver orders yourself or integrate with delivery partners. Its Order Hub lets you manage all your incoming orders in one place, no matter which delivery partners you choose to use. Square has all the tools to help you stay connected to customers no matter where they are. See everything that's available by visiting square.com/go/speakeasy.
And we are back. You're listening to the Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. We've been cutting it up during the break and ready to jump back into it. We've got Cave and Caroline in the studio, the virtual studio today. And we were talking a little bit about Rabbit Hole, talking a little bit about Tales of the Cocktail. And I think we should talk about what the hell's going on and what's going to happen this summer. Can we talk about, I think the question on a lot of people's minds around the world is, you know, what's going to happen with Tales? Like, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, what in the world? It is such a, as we're all living proof, it's such an interesting time that we're living through. And I think
you're being so genteel. Interesting. Yes. Yeah, it's a shitty time, Caroline. This is awful.
I need like two more drinks and then the accent will really come out. And y'all will be like, we can't understand her. She's cursing all the time. What's going on?
I'm from Oklahoma, so it'll happen.
No, I mean, I think that we are just trying to navigate it like everyone else is. We are committed to celebrating that week. And everyone said, or, you know, have you thought of postponing? And honestly, we just felt like everything was getting postponed. And what we want to do is we want to bring together community. We want to have education and we want to have a place to really execute those two things. And so we will be going primarily digital. We do have a few different options in place where if bars are open in your community, then we would be able to send people there. That's we're still working on because it's tough. I mean, New York is going to be closed until September. Is that right? Is that what I heard last? And
yeah, we still don't know. It's still a variable. You know, we got a lot of variables that we're up against. We don't know when we're reopening. We don't know what the restrictions will be when that happens. We don't know how long it will take to loosen those and get back to full capacity. So we're scrambling around trying to come up with plenty of contingency plans based on having a huge couple of variables that we don't know the number to. So we don't know, but
yeah.
I'm curious to hear what you'd like to do if we were open.
Yeah. So, you know, our whole point is obviously to be digital. We want our seminars to be, they're all going to be pre-recorded, which is really exciting. And then what we did learn from our education committees and our other committees is, you know, people still want to be able to connect. So on our schedule for that week, which we will be releasing, I believe, at the around June 15th, We will have Q&As and opportunities for you to be able to connect with those individuals on the schedule. There will be, I mean, a lot like New Orleans, there were going to be brands that are doing fun things. We're going to have the Spirited Awards as well as Dame Hall of Fame. And then what we hope to do is, again, have all the bars that want to be technically, as you look at it, like a tails bar. We want to be able to put them on our website and app so we can push people at an appropriate space to go to those bars and celebrate the tail spirit. So that's kind of the goal. We're still working out some of those in-person details, if it's even possible. It's definitely a moving target. We also want to do a huge, which I'm really excited about. We want to do like the world's largest cocktail hour. So we're working on putting that together where we can have bars all across the globe, kind of send along a toast as we go into the Spirited Awards, which, speaking of Spirited Awards, congratulations, y'all. Congratulations on your nomination.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Third time's yeah. charm.
Shamelessly, I'll point out that last year I was the most nominated person, and I didn't win anything. This year I've got two nominations, so maybe it'll go the other way and we'll win something. But, you know, happy to be invited to the dance no matter what. And love Tales of the Cocktail. I've been to, I think, 9 out of the last 11. As mentioned before, I lived in New Orleans for a bit. Different career when I was there, though. I was a chef. And I love New Orleans in general. So I'm really happy that you guys are pivoting and doing everything you can to make it still inclusive, even from a distance.
So are you going to wear your kilt again? Like, even if it's from home?
Absolutely. It's, yeah, it's a formal affair, right? I'm going to wear my kilt.
Exactly.
And I'm gonna catch a champagne bottle cap in my USPS hat like you do with your cowboy hat.
There you go.
So you're going to try and do a bunch of digital stuff. And I know that because I just got reached out to from a panel that I'm on, talking about prohibition, that we were selected to do one of these digital things. And I got no further information. He just checked to see if I was still involved, still in. And I said, absolutely. What else have I got to do? Also, I would be there if I was, you know, if this were normal times, if this was old Earth. So what's going to happen, by my understanding, and you can clear it up if I'm wrong, my understanding is we're going to record the thing in advance. And then it'll get played at a certain time. And during that time, all the panel members will be live and available to field questions. Is that how it's going to go?
Yeah. So we're going to push everyone. So basically your live discussion will be put on the schedule. And what we ask everyone is to watch the panel before then. So, you know, it's not a live, but that opens it up. And what we might do is actually ask, you haven't even been asked this yet. We may even ask panelists if they're willing to do two different Q&A sessions, call them. One where we can really hit our Asian counterparts and some more of the European bartenders, as well as some of the U.S. bartenders. And that's really the thought process behind this, is if we have the seminars recorded and then we do Q&A sessions with the panelists, there's more opportunity to share that. So it will.
So you're saying basically we would do it twice as a secondary, like I'd get up in the middle of the night and do this so that we can reach a different market. I love this. This is great.
I mean, if you're willing.
I'm 100% willing, and I don't know anyone who would be involved that would balk at that. Like, that's the way we can reach a larger audience and be more inclusive. I think maybe we can talk about that a little bit. You know, I feel like Tales of the Cocktail, since you've been on board, since my good friend Neil Bodenheimer's been on board since the Solomon family took over, your one of your main focuses has been inclusivity. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when we took over February 18th of, I don't even know anymore, 2018, one of the big premises was being inclusive and really making sure that we're not just highlighting one specific person in one specific area of thought. And we really launched that with our Beyond the Bar programming.
Wondrich has gotten a lot, too much play for Wondrich. We need to move on.
Totally agreed.
I don't want to know that.
That guy's got enough plates to have a dinner party.
Right? Yeah. I think it's great.
A Game of Thrones level, like, size dinner party. It's like, he's won so everything. But I always say, like, you know, like when we were first nominated, the first year that the broadcast podcast category came up, you know, we were up against Wondrich and Noah Rothbaum, and you know, I love one, like, Dave Wondrich is awesome. He's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and he's a neighbor to my Bar Grand Army, and like, you know, I would say that, you know, if you're up against Dave Wondrich, the best you can hope for is second place. And
yeah, absolutely.
Happy just to be like, just to have our name next to us, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Caroline. Please,
sorry.
Please
continue.
I was just saying,
give Dave Wondrich a couple jabs there. But
texting Dave, got this. No, I'm kidding. No, I think one of the ways that we've also strived to be inclusive, especially, you know, awards are always tough and there will always be criticism around them. But we also launched our regional awards, and that's not, we don't do them for podcasts yet, but we obviously do them for a lot of the bar categories. And it's been really lovely. It's been a way for us to really highlight, and that's the goal, right? The goal is to highlight the many members of our community. And yes, there's Dave Wondrich. He's our Michael Jordan. But there's so many people doing wonderful things. And that's the goal. We've got a great community and we want to help spread the good word.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize enough that, like, the critics we're talking about, right? I don't think they realize enough that, like, your own resources are somewhat limited, right? You can't, there's nearly no way we can get into every single bar, restaurant, hotel bar, hotel restaurant, et cetera, to even get them ranked, right? So I think one of the things that I learned the hard way is that you're only in the game if you put yourself in the game. I don't think people realize easily enough that to get nominated is to nominate yourself. You have to get yourself in front of the judges or you're not going to get in there, right?
So we literally had one of the pillars of our community this year. She did not nominate herself or her institution, and she'd asked a friend to, which people do all the time, especially women, because we're like, oh, we don't want to seem like we're being braggadocious, because there's a spot on there that says who's recommending you. And the only reason it's on there is like, if there is like a problem, right? Like, or like, hey, can you confirm how many bars? It's not like people don't look at that when they're voting. And her, it was like miscategorized, because I mean, we get thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of nominations. And anyway, long story short, it didn't make its way through. And we like went back and we looked at it. And I said to this human, I was like, we've got to spread the word to nominate yourself. It is not, it is not tacky. It is nothing else. It's like, put in the right information. It's a system. If bad information goes in, bad information comes out. And so, yes, please, next year, anyone that's listening, you don't have to be in the spirits world. If it is your favorite bar, your favorite bartender, or your favorite podcast, if you're listening, you can nominate. And anyone that has something they want to nominate themselves for, please do it. We're not going to judge you.
Yeah, I fall victim to that myself. I definitely wasn't aware in my earlier years that I was encouraged to nominate myself. And it actually came to me from a colleague in the field, my friend Ryan Maybe. He said, "Hey man, I put in a vote for you for the nomination you got, it was for spirits list or what have you." And he goes, "But we didn't have a list of the spirits. So I don't know how far it'll go." And I was like, oh, whoever nominated me didn't put in a list of spirits. And then I thought to myself, well, how would they have that actually? And he goes, yeah, you got to nominate yourself so you can turn all this information in. Exactly what you just said. The information needs to be clear and present. So it needs to come from the horse's mouth, as it were. And I didn't know that. And the next year, I didn't make the top 10. But the next year, I turned in the spirits list at Amore Margo, and we did get nominated for top 10. And that's happened again this year because we have updated it, and we keep nominating ourselves. And I think that's important to know that you can't get it, it's just like boil it down to a brass tacks. It's just like any cocktail competition. My drink isn't going to get judged if I don't place my drink in front of the judge.
Exactly.
Right? That's so, the point.
Yeah. So I think that's good to know.
That's a lot of probably more than y'all wanted to know about Spirited Awards, but we're excited. And you know, the
no, it's not. I mean, I think it's important stuff. And again, I'm really excited to see that inclusivity is really becoming the watchword with Tales of the Cocktail. The regional awards, the more awards throughout the world are really bringing the community together. You know, I've said it many times on air and off. I'm very fortunate that I'm in a career field where I can see or read about someone in my same field and literally ring them up or shoot them a text or DM via any social media platform and ask them questions about, hey, what do you, I saw this article, you're doing this great thing. Can you tell me about it? And they will. I don't know if that would happen if I was an accountant, and I certainly don't know, Kaveh, if that would happen if I was a psychologist, right? It's just not the same.
No, it's not. I mean, I think there's something really wonderful about this industry. I can certainly attest to it from as a producer, if you would, that, you know, here in Kentucky and I think in the craft world, people have really embraced me and embraced the team at Rabbit Hole. As Carolyn said, we're relative newbies, and it's just been amazing to see people open their arms and just welcome us, which is something you don't really see in other industries.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Rabbit Hole a little bit. Please honestly inform me and definitely the listener. I don't know enough about your brand or your background. So again, you left psychology to open up a distillery, and I don't know how long ago that was. And talk to me about from there to now. What's going on with Rabbit Hole?
Yeah, you know, I started, I think, conjuring up or thinking about Rabbit Hole probably about 10 years ago, and officially started it in 2012, so just about 8 years ago. And my approach was really from a consumer standpoint. From the very beginning, I didn't want to go out there and just get sourced liquid. I think that the toughest thing I had to do, and I scoured the state of Kentucky to try to find a distillery that would make my recipes for me. I think, you know, Souther probably is a as a culinary person, you have an appreciation for this, that I realized that back in the day in Kentucky, there were at one point literally thousands of small farmer distillers and a lot of different recipes and some local folks that kind of got accolades because of what they were doing. And I wanted to, in essence, be part of a kind of a renaissance, if you would, of bringing some of those recipes back to life or creating new recipes. And that was the beginning of it. I wanted to cut through the noise and make sure that we make whiskeys that are one of a kind, and they're not just buying a bottle, buying a liquid and putting it in a bottle and calling it a name. So, you know, in a sense, that was the beginning. We started with contract distillation, was fortunate enough to trade barrels, if you would, empty barrels at the time, to be able to get a contract back in 2014 and started laying down whiskey then. And then after that, started getting busy thinking about where and what type of distillery we're gonna build. And it was Louisville, Kentucky. And the idea was, how do we build a distillery that is completely immersive? I wanted to make sure that manufacturing or production of whiskey is sexy, for lack of a better word. You know, people talk about manufacturing and bringing back manufacturing, but we wanted to essentially making manufacturing of whiskey, in this case, something really appealing that people learn about and all their senses are heightened. That's what the goal and objective of the distillery was, to be able to make amazing whiskeys, but at the same time have hospitality and manufacturing hand in hand. So it's really a one of a kind distillery, where I don't think there's any distillery like it here in the U.S., where you are literally lifted off the manufacturing floor and you're able to have a 360-degree perspective of what it takes, soup to nuts, to make our liquid, and then land in the Overlook, which is right above, perched up above the atrium where we're making our whiskey, and you're able to have a cocktail up there and have a bird's eye view of the entire place. You know, it was also... part of the dream was, how do we get Americans to get excited about their native spirit? There's still, I think, a lot of folks that don't know about bourbon, nationally speaking, and we got a long way to go. And this is where, again, partnerships and having folks like people at Tails to help us get the word out, and particularly the word out with brands like Rabbit Hole, where we are committed to making sure that the whiskey in the bottle is truly one of a kind.
I can attest to everything you just said. I mean, like I said, I'd been to the distillery and I was blown away. I mean, and you know, it wasn't just like the, you know, obviously you got to talk about the juice in the bottle, but like again, like as a design nerd, I was just really blown away. Oh, my dog's barking in the background right now, but
Banjo,
the dog is barking. sorry about that, guys. But you know, I was really, I'm pretty skeptical about newer, I'm such an old school classicist kind of person when it comes to spirits, as I know that Souther is too. It's kind of hard for us sometimes to get our heads around like a new brand on the market that's doing something a little different, you know, like, you know, Souther doesn't drink anything that's newer than 1909, you know, as far as rye whiskey
goes. That's only partially true. Yes.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, I just the whole package, you know, like the whiskey's great. The design's cool. I love that it's not, it's the location in Louisville. So have you been to Louisville? Have you hung out there much?
Yeah, I've been to Louisville a couple times, and I've definitely been down there for Tales of the Cocktail and ventured over into the town to check everything out.
Wait, Tales of the Cocktail in Louisville?
Sorry. Camp Runamuck.
Okay, gotcha. So, I mean, like, we should cruise down there and go to, like, Jack Fry's and Duke's and all that stuff. And,
Hang out with Bernie and get shown the town, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some great places here. I think between the food and the bars, it's just we're all bummed out because of this COVID thing. But once we get back online, it's a great place to come out and have a drink and great food.
Yeah, I love everything you did with the whole brand. I mean, the business and the brand, it's amazing. And I really like seeing the legs that it has. You know, I'm seeing Rabbit Hole everywhere. You know, like this bottle that I brought out to California that I took from my bar, you know, like that I got from the distillery. And I wear a Rabbit Hole baseball cap like almost every day when it's my bicycling and fishing hat. And it does have a Grateful Dead pin on it. But, you know, like when I'm not wearing a cowboy hat, I'm wearing a Rabbit Hole hat, and I'll send you a picture of that. But yeah, I think everything, it's been very well done. I mean, like, the whole business is great. And, like, obviously, it really, like, what counts is what's in the bottle, and that's incredible, too. So, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm kind of jealous of what you've created here.
Well, you know, and I think that's where this To Dream Inside kind of, I think, initiative was really about. Because in some ways, it was really loosely tied to my dream. My dream was to make sure that we build something that is timeless in some ways and is able to really stand the test of time and eventually become a classic like some of the amazing great brands that we have out there. And for me, it starts with the liquid. At the end of the day, if the liquid's no good and the liquid is not really truly stands on its own, then the rest of it is just fluff and nonsense.
Sure.
But I think, you know, we are ultimately in a business where it's the liquid, but the rest of the experience is part of it. And you guys, from a hospitality standpoint, you know it firsthand that it's really the emotional kind of sensibility and the feelings that we're trying to, come to life, bring to life for our patrons. And I think that was the idea behind Rabbit Hole, that it can't just be just a good liquid or just a good looking package, but what is the brand story about? And to me, it's essentially in line with, you know, the whole spirit of Kentucky, where you got all these folks starting to move west. They're chasing a dream. It's really manifest destiny. And how do you follow your dream and you actualize it? And I feel very blessed and very fortunate that I've been able to do it. And in some ways, we're hoping to be able to inspire other people to do the same.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it seems apparent that you are. The speed at which this initiative or activation, whatever we're going to call it, is taken off, it looks amazing. So again, I just want to cover it real fast, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kaveh, but it's hashtag is to the number Dream Inside, when you hashtag any photograph that you put on Instagram, $2 gets donated, and we're going to do this until we get $200,000. There's no time limit. We're going to $200,000. That's the deal, right?
That's right. That's right.
Pretty amazing. I want to ask you just real quickly, we're coming to the close of the show, Kaveh, but you talk about the liquid a lot, I'm sure that's delicious. I don't have any in front of me to taste while we talk, but where did you come up with your recipe? Like, leaving the field of psychology and going into the field of distilling isn't a natural jump, and you're the head distiller, correct? So where did you come up with this this recipe, and how did you like formulate it in such a way that you can grow it into a business that makes, you know, lots and lots of liters at a time?
Yeah, you know, I was fortunate enough to, being in Louisville, I met a lot of amazing, quote unquote, experts, if you would. My first teacher, it was Larry Ebersole. Larry was the master distiller of the Wild Turkey when Pernod had them. And he was also at the old Seagram's plant, kind of came of age with Jim Rutledge and Dave Shurick and those guys. So through Larry, I met Jim and some of the other folks. And essentially, all these guys took me under their wings for the first year or two, taught me everything there is to know about it. And of course, I was doing my own studying and things like that. And for me, the craft beer movement was a source of inspiration. So I started experimenting with a lot of different grain bills and things like that. That's kind of the way the name came to be, because my wife kept saying, with this cockamamie idea, I'm going to take the family down the rabbit hole. So I was experimenting and worked with Larry a little bit, and then eventually decided on a couple of recipes, and then we started it. And since then, now at the distillery, we have five different bourbon recipes that are in production. There's only two on the market currently, but the idea is to kind of take it to where, in some ways, wine is now, as opposed to where it was in the late 70s and early 80s, where people ordered by, you know, essentially it was either red, white, or rosé. And we want to do the same thing with whiskey. I really want to get to a point where Americans, or just people around the world, are educated enough that are not ordering by the brand, but essentially the style of whiskey or the type of flavor profile that is in the bottle. And that's kind of the direction that we're going. And those gentlemen were really instrumental in helping me get it started.
And that's fascinating for me on two levels. One, of course, is what we talked about already, how our industry is very open-armed and willing to share information and be helpful. And it sounds like you got lucky enough to get involved with like a murderer's row of amazing distillers who took you under and gave you some insight. And then also this notion of promoting whiskey as different, you know, styles, so that you can order appropriately, maybe with the meal that you're having or the atmosphere that you're in. I think that's a fascinating approach, and I think it sounds really rad.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think we're working with a couple of local chefs here. Bobby Benjamin, for example, with Butchertown Grocery. He is an amazing restaurant, and he's got a night where there's just food and whiskey pairing all night, and spectacular stuff. And it's really, how do you get people to get a little bit more comfortable with ordering whiskey with throughout the meal, or at least in smaller portions, to be able to enjoy it and see the difference between different expressions?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome. Well, it looks like we're kind of getting towards the end here, but really great to have you on, Kaveh, and of course, Caroline from Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, Kaveh from Rabbit Hole Whiskey. Love this initiative that you're putting on. Again, it's hashtag 2DreamInside. The number 2DreamInside is the hashtag. Anything you post with that hashtag on there gets a $2 donation to the Tales of the Cocktail Foundation, which goes to support lots of different things, including the caps. And I'm sure you're donating, you're pushing those funds to other places as well, Caroline. I don't know where else you're going, but that alone is a great initiative. Anything else you guys want to add before we wrap it up?
You know, on my end, I was just going to say thank you so much for having us on this show, and it's been a pleasure to chat with you guys. And Souther, definitely send me your address, because you're cooped up. I'm happy to send you a couple of bottles just so you know, you're not without rabbit hole.
So I'm not dry.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's right. Kind of, it's ironic because I just ran out of my bottle here. I'll send you my address too.
Send the address, brother.
Just got to the end of my 1909 Overholt. Yeah.
So sure, stay on the line before we, you know, after we close up, and I'll gladly give you that on the air. Caroline, anything you want to add that we need to know, or that's imperative about Tales of the Cocktail, or about sweet tea, or anything going on down there in New Orleans?
No, I hope that everyone can join us digitally, at least in July, and we'll be sending over that information, and good luck with the Spirited Awards. I hope to see y'all in the next round, and thanks for helping spread the word.
Yeah, maybe we should send you some whiskey.
Yeah, do you have any sway over this situation?
we'll talk off the record, Well, thanks so much again for being on the show, both of you. It's been really great. Thanks again for doing what you're doing with Tales of the Cocktail Foundation. Thank you for doing what you're doing with Rabbit Hole and the Two Dream Inside. I think, in these kind of crazy, weird, strange, not so normal times, we're seeing a lot of really fun, creative, and very thoughtful ways to take care of each other and keep things going. So I just want to say thanks for that. And I can't wait to, have a drink with you both in person when we're able to do that. As soon as we're able to, we're going to fly down to New Orleans and over to Louisville and hang out, and we'll go to Butchertown Grocery because that place is awesome, as you mentioned. I love Louisville. It's one of my favorite cities in the United States. I can't wait to go there. And also, I think New Orleans is the most unique city in the United States, and it's got a spirit like none other. So you're both in good places. If you have to be stuck somewhere, I think you're in good places. So that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many other programs like this one. I've had too much whiskey. Click on the beating heart to donate to the station. Check out all the other ways you can help out our industry and our friends. And until next week, cheers, y'all.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.